Hi, good vach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are now up to Parshat Vayishlach. That's right, there's a lot of, Vayesha, Vayishlach, Vayechi, right? There's a lot of us. But, and then we have Vayera later on in Shemot, so don't get mixed up, right? This is Vayishlach, this is where Yaakov sends out the Malachim, which were probably real Malachim, Vedas to Esav. So Yaakov is preparing to meet up with his brother Esav for the first time since Yaakov, in a sense, stole the birthright, even though it obviously was more complicated than that. And he sends these malachim, which may be angels, to greet him and sends wave after wave of extravagant gifts, specifically three waves. Not only does he send him every type of useful animal, but the appropriate ratios of females to males for each animal type, which is to make sure that he'd be able to, continue the offspring of the animals, future generations, and have much more livestock, and which is kind of perpetuate, which would be a blessing that leads to a blessing, or a gift that leads to a gift. Now, as word comes that Esav is approaching, Yaakov splits his camp and prepares for the worst. He splits into two camps. As he's waiting for his brothers to arrive, he encounters a strange man who is called Ishimo, a man who is with him, who is often mentioned as the guardian angel of Esav. There are a couple other interpretations. It may have been the Satan, it may have been Michal, but most understand it in one form or another to be the guardian angel of Esav. Now, in a certain sense of irony, Yaakov had sent his angels to Esav, but afterwards, Esav, in a sense, unwittingly though, sends his angel to Yaakov. Now, upon meeting this strange individual, the Torah writes, "Vayaavek Ishimo," a very, very famous pasuk. And Yaakov struggled with or wrestled with this man with him. Now, commentaries write this can also be seen as an internal struggle. In fact, in many of these stories, there is like the surface level of the story of what's happening, and then there's a whole metaphorical level. I mean, in reality, there's probably an infinite number of metaphorical levels and teachings, but there's at least like one that's more well discovered, and that everything can have kind of like a deeper layer to what's actually happening. Now, Yaakov had been blessed with much wealth, and although he had gone through many ordeals, he came through richer and better than before. Yet, he still had this lingering attachment to the physical world, and this very, very small extent, but it's on him, his madriga, his level, right? In a sense, he married Rachel, and obviously he saw a lot of amazing spirituality, but there was some little bit of, he found her attractive, right? So again, not that there's anything wrong with that. We're just saying that, he's a human being, and therefore he will have some attachment to the physical by nature of a physical being. So therefore, he also had attachment to his physical belongings. Now, again, question as to why, they were given to him from Hashem, whatever it might be, right? But he had some attachment to his belongings. Whether it's right or wrong, that's not the question. Seemingly it was right. But now it was time to Yaakov to face something that he was physically and physiologically born with, which is his other half, right? The one who was in the womb with him, which was Esav. So Esav's personality versus his personality. I heard recently, I apologize, I don't remember who I heard it from, I think it was last week, that because Esav and Yaakov were born together, and Yaakov was holding on to Esav's heel, and the whole back and forth, and they were so, they were grown together in the womb for 9 months, right? They developed together. So they had an influence on each other in a certain sense. Well, they weren't good or bad at that point because they're still in the womb, but they had certain influences and certain different characteristics that even at that point, certainly from a spiritual perspective. So Esav, in a slight amount, rubbed up on Yaakov, and positively Yaakov rubbed up on Esav. Maybe that's where the Kibbutz comes from, right? Honoring the father. But a little bit of Esav had rubbed off into Yaakov's personality, and that was led to a slight attachment of the physical. So he was able to take the struggle and through it shed the physical exterior, even as far as the connection between the physical and spiritual world. So he had to break that. He had to, for once and for all, rid himself of this little klipa, this little attachment that he had to Esav. He had to get rid of this little thing that was sticking to him, which is symbolic of the letter He, which was a connection between the physical and the spiritual worlds, which is what we want, but this was specifically one which wasn't healthy, because he wanted to focus much more on the Yud, which represents spirituality, than on the physicality. He didn't want it to be equal, right? The letter He is composed of the letter Yud and Dalet, which we also see by Yidei Esav, but is the word Yad means hand, but the letter Hey is composed of a Yud and a Dalet, if you look at how it's written. And the letter Dalet represents number 4, which corresponds to some elements of physicality and the physical world. And Yud represents spirituality. Again, it's an oversimplification. So he wanted, rather than half and half, half physical and half spiritual, which is how most people live our lives, and that's fine. Certainly a lot better than mostly physical. Yaakov wanted to focus only on the spiritual. I mean, he had obviously physical needs as a human being, but he wanted to focus only on the spiritual, and therefore he wanted to focus on the Yud. So if you take the words, Vayaavek Ishimo, and he wrestled with or struggled with this man that was with him, those words, and you take away the letter He numerically, it equals 541. So you take the numerical value of that sentence, you subtract 5 for the letter He, you get 541, which is Yisroel, which is what he became. He had fought with Sar Esav, which was the ministering angel of Esav. And now Yaakov had become the Sar himself in Yisrael. There's a couple definitions of what Yisrael means, but one is that he will become the mighty master, or the master in conjunction with God, or the Sar representing God, Sar representing Hashem. So it became incorporated into his name, Yisrael. Now this latter part, so it's either Yashar Kel or Yisar Kel. This latter part, the Kel, the Aleph Lamed, is remarkably significant with respect to this transformation. Yaakov had gone to Beit El, which I think is the place name, we can call it that, before, and worshipped Hashem there. But he was only surrounded by spirituality on one side. He was going forward, but not necessarily looking back behind him. Or maybe vice versa, I don't know. After the entire episode with Esav, and then has to face the difficult story of Shechem, Yaakov had to return and go backwards to Beit El. He had to rectify a couple things in the past. He had arrived to Shechem Shalem, complete, but unfortunately, through the travails and disgraceful actions that happened there, including to some extent what Shimon and Levi did, which wasn't ideal, he in a sense lost this Yud and reverted back a little bit more to Yaakov than Yisrael. He wanted to be more Yisrael and reverted back a little bit more towards the physical end than he would have liked. Therefore, Hashem simply said to Yaakov, not Yisrael, Kum Allah Beit El, get up and raise yourself back up to the level of Beit El. You will always be Yaakov, but I want you to focus on being Yisrael. Because you are also Yisrael, and I want you to focus back on that spirituality. So go back to Beit El, reinvigorate yourself, remake yourself complete. And he went beyond. And he did what he didn't do before, and then he surrounds himself with the concept of God. He looked at God going backwards, and he looked at God going forwards. He looked in the rearview mirror and saw everything that God, Hashem, has done with Kel in the past to help get him to this point, and he looked at everything that Hashem could help him with in the future. So it was Kel Beit Kel, El Beit El. That's what he named this new place, or rather he named Beit El, El Beit El. And afterwards, Hashem tells Yaakov that his name, right after that, Hashem announces, even though Yaakov was already told that by the Malach, but now Hashem tells Yaakov that his name should no longer be Yaakov, but it should be Yisrael. And he's once again elevated to the spiritual level that he had recently. And at this time it's permanent, and it's still with us today, and we are known more than B'nai Yaakov as B'nai Yisrael, because we all have that spiritual essence inside of each and every one of us, and that's what we need to focus on. We can be a B'nai Yaakov or a base Yaakov, whatever it might be, because we're physical beings, and Yaakov itself had a lot of merits. But we can also raise ourselves to a higher level to be more than just half spiritual, half physical, that we can focus much more on aiming towards spiritual endeavors, or at least connecting all of our physical or most of our physical endeavors towards spiritual heights and Bilo Shem Shemayim. So we have the spiritual essence. We are B'nai Yisrael. We need to have and bring that out, each and every one of us. We just have to bring it out, as Yaakov in the Torah is teaching us. Shabbat Shalom.